Dr. Vivoro will be presenting strengthening safety net programs in Palm Beach County, Florida, through the use of intergovernmental transfers. Please.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for coming out on a late afternoon. I'm going to talk a little bit about a program that we've been utilizing in Palm Beach County to make sure that our safety net providers are able to provide all the services that they need to, because it provides a little extra incentive coming from the Fed, sort of bypassing the state, which we have to do a lot these days down in Florida, and make sure that we continue to provide the services to people. So first the disclosure slide, nothing to disclose, and what I'm going to talk about is what we call in Florida the low-income pool. And those of you in other states probably have something very similar. And it had ours had its birth in a waiver, the 1115 waiver that was given by CMS to our Agency for Healthcare Administration back in 2005. And at that time, our Medicaid program wanted to do some pilot programs with managed Medicaid and wanted to move a lot of lives into managed products. So as part of it, they set aside this extra pool of money, a little pot of money that would be able to be used to make sure that everybody stays whole with that kind of change. Because, once the managed care companies come in and take over, you don't get paid as much, or this thing or that thing doesn't happen. So it gives this little extra pool of money. And you can see there it was established to ensure continued governmental support for the provision of health care services to Medicaid, underinsured, and uninsured populations. So it really covers the gamut. And it's a $1 billion pool. And it's funded by local governments, hospital and health taxing districts, and various other state agencies. And again, the waiver approval said that the money had to be used to pay for health care expenditures. And they could be actual Medicare costs where we're paying the hospital for a bill or the clinic for a bill that they provided on a patient for us. Or it could be in the form of premiums. And we'll talk a little bit about what we do at the district, because we do a number of insurance and coverage products that we actually pay the premiums for. And again, those are for uninsured and underinsured people in Palm Beach County. And then there's a LIP council that oversees it. And this LIP council is made up of 24 people, and I actually sit on the one that's the local government that provides money to the program that determines how the dollars are allocated. But after we make our decision, it goes up to the state legislature, and they kind of do whatever they want to with it. And again, these days they haven't wanted to play a lot with a lot of reform. They just kind of put a lot of stumbling blocks in the way. So that's the low-income pool that we'll be talking about that we utilize. But I need to tell you a little bit about our agency, because we're a local taxing district, and we've been in existence 25 years, voted in by the taxpayers of Palm Beach County in a referendum. And we're pretty much a system. We're not always so well integrated. I wish we could do things a little better in all these areas we do, but we like to live in silos, as a lot of folks do. So one thing we do run an aeromedical program, so we actually own and operate the Trauma Hawk system in our county that transports people by helicopter. Palm Beach County is a huge county. It's about 50 miles by 50 miles. We run a very extensive school health program where we have a registered nurse in every single public school in Palm Beach County. So we get a lot of mileage out of that with preventive programs and a lot of health services. And they have electronic health record. Unfortunately, it doesn't talk to anything else, but it's out there and we've got a lot of data. We also have a skilled nursing facility, the Healy Center, that's been in operation for almost 100 years in Palm Beach County. It's the old county home. The district operates that, and we actually rebuilt it this year. I'm very proud that we were able to move out of that 100-year-old facility. We also own and operate an acute care hospital in Belleglade, Florida. And again, if you look at your Florida map and there's a big lake in the middle, Belleglade is one of the towns on that lake. It is many miles geographically and culturally from Palm Beach. It is a whole different world out there in Belleglade. And that's where we run, again, a small rural hospital, JCO accredited, 70 beds, great place. We also fund the trauma centers in Palm Beach County, and the trauma centers are actually at two private hospitals that are run by Tenet, but to all the docs in the system, they work for us. We have four federally qualified health centers, so we run primary care clinics. And then the big bulk of what we do, it's probably over half of our $260, $270 million budget, is managed care programs. So we actually own and operate a Medicaid HMO called Healthy Palm Beaches. We have a large unregulated health insurance product called Coordinated Care. And then we have a shared premium program, which is called VitaHealth, which is real similar to those things that you'll find on the exchanges now. It goes up to 300% of federal poverty guideline, and the district matches the premium for that. So all this is money, though, that flows through the system. And even though we've got some facilities there, we've got 13 hospitals in Palm Beach County, and there's only three of them that are community nonprofit anymore. Everybody else is owned by Tenet or HCA or Universal Health Services. So we're a county really of for-profit hospitals, so a lot of the dollars go to care for services there. And all of our managed care programs, when we find someone is eligible for a service because they're uninsured or underinsured, they get a card, just like you would an insurance card. And we have a network of about 1,600 physicians, all the hospitals in the county, all sorts of providers, pharmacy, everything that they would use as an insurance network for getting whatever services they need. So with all these services, and this is where the dollars come from that we're able to put into that low-income pool. Because what's going to happen is that even though these are funding certain patient services, they're never going to get paid to those people, because through this magic of the intergovernmental transfer, it's going to turn into something else. So here's how these work. So the hospital, and we put hospital there, but it could be the clinic that gets IGT funds. We fund some practices at one of the teaching hospitals. Whatever services they do, they drop us a claim. So I saw such and such a patient in the hospital for 10 days, it costs this. Drop us a claim that we promptly work, but we never pay it. We void it. And we take all the money then that we accumulate from that hospital and we send it up to the state, to the Agency for Healthcare Administration, which is ACA, which administers Medicaid for our state, and then they send it up to CMS at the federal level. Because the state has made so many cutbacks in Medicaid over the year, they have a lot of untapped dollars up on the federal level that they can't access. So by using these dollars locally, we're able to sort of bypass the fact that the state didn't legislate enough dollars into those pools. So locally, we're able to pull that down. And then when they pull that down, though, district funds then are used to increase the Medicaid rate. And so that has nothing to do, actually, with the people that were served up front to make it happen. But the hospitals get an enhanced rate then from Medicaid. And again, it's magic of only the intergovernmental transfers can do. But the whole idea is that you're leaving dollars up at the feds. And we're doing this right now in Florida because we're not expanding Medicaid. You know, so we got all that money up there that's just sitting, and, you know, we're still serving people locally with local tax dollars when it could be these federal dollars. So this draws down some of them for these Medicaid programs. And going through these ideas again, that the reduced Medicaid funding that the state does each year means that the state can pull down less of that federal match for Medicaid. And then this LIP pool allows then that local match to go forward. It allows us to put the dollars into the LIP pool that can then go up and bring down the dollars from CMS. So we use it to buy back Medicaid rates. And so every time the state cuts Medicaid rates each year, if we put enough dollars in to buy back, we can buy back up to the Medicaid rates. LIP payments then can be used to help recoup losses that the hospitals have or the providers have because of these Medicaid cuts, and they're significant every year. The LIP payments also allowed the providers to continue to serve some people that are not in the Medicaid population. And by having those extra dollars, that 7 or 8 or 10, or in our case in our hospital, 25%, that is no insurance and no pay, you're able to cover the cost of that with some of this extra money coming through with enhanced Medicaid payments. So it's supposed to afford the sustainability to providers who have very small profit margins. So here's kind of what it looks like, and this is just an amazing amount of money when you think about it. So you have the buyback and exception amounts that the district puts forward. It's about $20 million altogether, and this is a net benefit. So this is an additional $52 million over the $20 million that they get. And it all depends on these hospitals' Medicaid volumes. So everybody heard of Boca Raton, you know, that's that part of Palm Beach County, real ritzy, very wealthy. They don't do a lot of Medicaid down there. So their $415,000 only gets them another $241,000 because they don't have enough volume of Medicaid patients to buy back. But St. Mary's Hospital, which is probably our primary provider of services to Medicaid, they're able to take $3.5 million and get an additional $23 million in enhanced payment. And then there's just a whole list of these all through. And again, our hospitals, only three of these hospitals, Bethesda and Boca Community and Jupiter Hospital, are community not-for-profit hospitals. Everything else is a corporate-run facility. So we always feel a little icky about giving them some extra money, but you know, obviously they take care of our people, and we want to make sure that we still have services available. Now, we also can use this money for our FQHCs and various other facilities, the health department. And now this is a gross amount, so you turn about $1.3 million into $3.3 million for our local health department, which is great because another one of the things that the state of Florida is going through is kind of focusing on core public health activities for the public health departments, and that's very difficult because that means just everything is being shrunk. We have a couple of FQHCs that we provide lit payment for, an internal medicine residency program at one of our hospitals. We're able to use the dollars to get up to an additional $1 million. And then we have an obstetrics program, primary care obstetrics out in our rural area, that we use this for. So hospitals, clinics, health departments all benefit. Now, the only problem is that this is going away, you know, as part of Medicaid expansion that's going on everywhere else in the U.S. All these extra pools are going away because everybody's supposed to be moved into Medicaid. Medicaid's supposed to be expanded. Everybody's supposed to have a coverage now or an availability of a coverage. But again, Florida's not playing with that yet. We're not expanding Medicaid at this time. So actually, after this current state fiscal year, this lit pool is destined to sunset. And so the Agency for Healthcare Administration is preparing another 1115 waiver, and this time they're going to ask for a $3 billion a year lit pool, which is kind of interesting because they didn't want to expand Medicaid, and that's like a $5 billion a year cost. So it really is very funny to me that we have the guts to ask for these things when we don't want to play along with money that's already there.